Right then, the meeting has officially come to order. Let us all say the pledge. I now am a shark, not a mindless eating machine. If I am to change this image, I must first change myself. Fish are friends, not food.
Except stinking dolphins.
Dolphins? Yeah, they think they're so cute. Oh, look at me, I'm a flippin' little dolphin. Let me flip for you, ain't I something?
Right then, today's meeting is step 5. Bring a fish friend. Now, do you all have your friends?
Got mine.
Hey there!
How about you, chum?
Oh, well, I seem to have misplaced my friend.
It's all right, chum. I had a feeling this would be a difficult step. You can help yourself to one of my friends.
Oh, thanks, mate. A little chum for chum, eh?
I'll start the testimonies. Hello. My name is Bruce.
Hello, Bruce.
It has been 3 weeks since my last fish. On my honour, or may I be chopped up and made into soup.
You're an inspiration to all of us.
Amen.
Right then, who's next?
Pick me.
Yes, the little Sheila down the front.
Woo!
Come on up here.
Hi, I'm Dory.
Hello, Dory.
And, well, I don't think I've ever eaten a fish.
Hey, that's incredible.
Good on you, mate.
I'm glad I got that off my chest.
All right, anyone else? Hello, how about you, mate? What's your problem?
Me? I don't have a problem.
Oh, okay.
Denial.
Just start with your name.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas and Damien. Come on. Oh wait, shit, he's not here.
I don't think it works like that. I don't think he can like astrally project himself. Is that how they say it? Astrally project or project astral? That's what it is, right? When they leave their body and go elsewhere without their body being there.
Yes, I think that is what it is called.
So what should we put in Damien's obituary? Because he's obviously dead if he's not on the podcast. Here lies a man who claimed to love shitty movies.
No, I don't think he ever made such a claim.
He likes Cobra.
This is true, but I'm pretty sure he'll tell you it's the greatest movie ever made.
Oh no, what we can do is we can start pretending he likes movies that he hates. Bad movies, verifiable bad movies. All right, we'll just do that throughout the podcast.
Yeah, let's do that.
Anyways, moving on. Douglas, how have you been doing? And more importantly, what have you been watching? Because obviously I don't care how you've been doing.
I know you don't care how I've been doing, but I suppose at least you care what I have been watching. So you do think about me ever so often. I haven't watched much this week. I guess the one thing that I can talk about that I just finished watching, actually, about 2 seconds before we started this podcast, was another food-related movie. And why I say another is because if the folks that are listening don't know yet because you haven't read the title or you just don't talk to Andrew or whatever it is, the movie that we are going to review today is Eat, Drink, Man Sex or some shit like that, and it's all about food, or at least that's a central part of it. And keeping with that motif, I decided to watch, I almost said Ito Mama Tambien, but I actually meant to say Like Water for Chocolate. And this movie was disappointing. I think a large part of it was that this movie has been overhyped by almost everybody who has ever watched it and then spoken about it to me. But also, I think a smaller portion was that it just isn't that good. The movie, it just goes on and on. It's really about this daughter who is forced by her mother to not marry and just grow up serving her mother and taking care of her until she dies. It's almost a Cinderella story. And of course, within a Cinderella story, you've got the, I don't want to say lost love, but the forbidden love. And that is a central part of the whole movie. And I don't want to say that it's a bad movie. I shouldn't say that it's a bad movie. But it's not a movie that appeals to me. I think that's what it is. And I don't know. I guess I just didn't like it. Unfortunate, but true. And that really shouldn't mar anybody else's view of it, I suppose. But that is all I've seen this week. Have you ever watched that movie, Andrew?
I've never seen it, but I've heard Damien loves it quite a lot.
Wow. Oh, yes. Yes, you're right. I do remember him saying that in those exact words. I love
in those exact words. He's like, you know what, guys? It's an amazing movie. Like Water for Chocolate. It's fantastic. You guys should watch it. Because we never watch the movies he suggests to us. I'm happy you took the time to go and see this movie. Because, yes. I mean, we really should pay more attention to Damien.
Yes, we really should. And many of his great recommendations.
Right. I saw a few movies this week, not that many. Let's start with the bad, right? I watched Premium Rush, the new film starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and I don't think there's anyone else worth... Oh, wait, there's Michael Shannon, sorry. Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Michael Shannon, where Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a New York City bike messenger, and he's asked to take a certain article from one point from point A to point B, and it turns out that this little parcel happens to have something of importance, and Michael Shannon, who plays a police officer, is trying to get it from him before he delivers it. This movie is really bad. I remember very keenly a film from the 80s. I think it's 80s.
I was about to say the same thing with Kevin Bacon and Larry Fishman, right?
Quicksilver, which I have very fond memories of. It's kind of funny that there are parts of this movie which feel like that film. Because in Quicksilver, what it is about is it's really Kevin Bacon used to be a stockbroker, and he went broke. A stockbroker went broke, and he says, "Screw this! I'm going to go and be a bike messenger because I want to be one of the real people." And it becomes all about him becoming a better person to figure out how he can be that stockbroker again, or whatever. I don't remember the real moral, but I remember a lot of at the end he goes back to the stockbroker thing. But in this movie they mention the fact that Joseph Gordon-Levitt went to law school, but he never bothered to do the bar exam because he says all throughout the movie, I can't ever see myself being one of those people who at age 23 wears a suit to work and goes in an office and quiet. He wants to be out on the street, always riding. And a big thing about his character is that when he rides, he has no brakes on his bicycle, and he doesn't ride any of those bicycles with like six gears, which make it so much better for you. He rides a single gear bicycle, steel frame, no brakes. He says that like multiple times throughout the movie, and they even
so how does
say
he stop without brakes.
He doesn't. That's the whole point. When he wants to stop...
No, hold on. Because I understand somebody saying, oh, I don't push the brakes when I'm in the middle of a race or when I'm in the middle of getting my package to where it needs to go. But you see, the problem is that when you get where you need to go, you have to stop.
Well, he does the bike thing when he wants to stop, in that he makes sure he's slowed down like naturally enough, and then he jumps off the bike and like stops the bike. I don't know what he does, but he does stop to make deliveries. His character name is Wiley, and they even make point to say, oh, like the coyote, and they kind of made this movie into like the Coyote and Roadrunner cartoons, in Michael Shannon and Joseph Gordon-Levitt going after each other, and it's so horrible. I mean, why do people waste Michael Shannon like this? An actor who's been in so many great movies. I mean, I guess this is the paycheck movie for him or something, but wait, no, he has Superman next year. And what I find even more hilarious is there is another character in the movie. His name is Manny. And it's blatantly obvious that someone looked at this guy and said, you remember Wesley Snipes from the 90s? Do that. Because he's just over the top crazy. He's like, I can't remember the character name. Whoever Wesley Snipes was playing in Demolition Man.
Demolition Man?
Except he's on a bike. And
so he's like a villain kind of guy?
No, he's just the asshole guy that no one likes.
The close cropped blonde haircut, just like Wesley Snipes in that movie.
Oh man, it's kind of crazy. It's a bad movie. Don't watch it, guys. Don't watch it. I also watched Paranorman.
I want to watch that, but I'm sure it could turn out badly.
Which is honestly a fantastic movie. Awesome. I loved it so much. Awesome. if you guys saw Coraline like 3 years ago, think of that, but even prettier.
Is it even better though? Because while I won't go as far to say that Coraline was a bad movie, but it wasn't as good as I had wanted it to be.
I think it's better because where Coraline was playing more with adventure, this movie plays a lot more with horror, and it plays a lot more with horror tropes. Like it even goes so early, like early on in the movie, you see he's watching an old horror film. When the movie starts, you see like Grindhouse feature presentation come up in front of the entire screen. It's not like oh, we're looking at this guy watching TV. It starts us off watching that TV show instead of the actual movie. And you see a scene of like a zombie coming after this lady, and the lady just starts screaming because of course the zombie's gonna kill her. But she screams so long that she runs out of breath, standing in one position waiting for the zombie to come up at her. She looks at the camera and has this moment of going to the director, really guys? And then she goes back and starts screaming at full volume again. And this movie just makes it blatantly obvious that the people who made it are just lovers of horror films, and they made it so wonderful. It's such a nice movie. When I finished watching this movie, my immediate thought was that I don't think I can think of another movie that I've seen this year so far that looks as gorgeous as this movie does in its last 15 minutes. The way it plays with all of those horror tropes, it's kind of fun. I almost think of it as a kid-friendly version of, what was that movie I made you guys watch? Trick or Treat.
Oh, you mean, yeah, I totally watched that movie.
Yeah, that was while you were off thesising.
Yeah, man, I was thesising, and up to now I haven't gotten to it, no matter how good you guys say it is.
just not as violent, and yeah, and one story instead of like three or four. I can't remember how many was in Trick or Treat. The other and last movie I'll talk about this week. Well, actually, yeah. The other movie I watched this week, I also saw The Wedding Banquet. Or is it? Yeah, The Wedding Banquet, which is the other Ang Lee movie, which I watched this week.
Oh, I saw you tweet about that.
And it's kind of strange because it feels almost like it doesn't know where the line between comedy and drama is in this film. Because for those of you who haven't seen it, it's a story about this Asian guy living in New York who is gay. But his family back in China doesn't know. And they keep sending him all of this information going, we can set you up for this dating service and find you a nice wife. Or they send him, or they tell women to go and date him. They keep harassing him. And him and his boyfriend keep laughing it off. So one day he finally signs up for one of them. And he puts on ridiculous requests. He's like, speaks six languages, has 3 degrees, loves opera, and is higher than 5'9". And of course, because we're talking about Asian people, that's supposed to be impossible to find. So they find someone for him who they find out doesn't quite work out. But in order to get his parents off of his case, him and his boyfriend come up with this idea to stage a marriage of convenience between him and this other Asian lady. And of course, that gets out of hand. But they play so many strong points where they try, where they highlight the Asian culture, and even more so the culture of those who basically have left home and gone to the big city of New York and are trying to live the quote-unquote American dream, the idea of finally being your own culture. And it is slightly interesting, but at the same time, I don't consider it the greatest movie about Asian culture or anything like that.
Is this movie supposed to be a comedy?
It's kind of in between both. There are moments which are definitely played for comedy, and there are moments where they're like, look, we're going to be serious right now, because boyfriend and boyfriend are about to have a fight.
Because, can I tell you, I cannot see Ang Lee directing a comedy.
I think that's what made me more interested for it. I'm like, Ang Lee had to have done something early in his life. Oh, wait, he kind of did a comedy. I have to watch it now. It's on Netflix. You can go and watch it if you want.
Well, I've shipped something from Amazon, and it should reach me sometime next week. So that Netflix disaster, or not disaster, but limitation, hopefully, should be done by next week.
Oh, and as a side note, I started watching Friday Night Lights on Netflix as well. I've heard so many people speak so highly of it for so long, and I've never really seen it. Right? Even the movie, I know I've seen, but I don't remember. I only remember bits of it. And weirdly enough, it's kind of growing on me. Like, with one or two episodes, I was making fun of it. I'm like, so this is a soap opera about people in high school in a town in which all they care about is football, and it's basically a high school soap opera, and I'm going to hit, and the entire show, 45 minutes long, is all told through close-ups. But I've reached episode 9, or I've reached episode 10 at this point, and I kind of think it's growing on me. Like, I'm definitely not going to call it a great show, and I'm not going to say, Douglas Damon, you guys should go and watch this show, but I think I might watch it for a while. I don't know how long I'll last, but I'm gonna keep with it for now.
Well, I hope you enjoy yourself.
Not for you, Douglas.
I don't think so. This said from a person who has neither watched the TV show nor the movie.
You're just like soap opera. No.
Grab through the ground, us dreaming, take you from the inside, really hold on tight. You were so right when you said, I've been drinking. What was I thinking when you said?
Anyways, moving on to our trailers, as we go through that rousing review of Friday Night Lights that we know Damien loves so much.
Mm-hmm.
This week we saw a trailer for Passion.
Conscientious, incredibly bright, driven. We make a really good team.
You're very secretive, you know.
Am I?
Yes. I mean, we've been working together, what, 8 months? And I don't even know where you're from or what you want.
What's it like with her?
It excites you, doesn't it? She likes to play games. She likes surprises.
What do you want?
Well, I used to want to be admired.
I admire you.
Well, now I want to be loved.
Yes, we did. We saw a trailer for Passion. I believe Andrew was about to say that it's the latest film from Rachel McAdams and Noomi Rapace, and it's directed by Brian De Palma. Is that what you said we're going to say, Andrew?
That's what I was about to say. I was just giving a moment due to my laundry.
I see. Now, I don't like to generalize, but I'm going to generalize anyway. Have you, other than Scarface, which... You can actually argue both ways, but I think both you and I stand on the it's one of the greatest movies ever side of the argument. How many good movies directed by Brian De Palma have you ever watched?
Brian De Palma. No, Brian De Palma is definitely what I consider a 50-50 filmmaker, but I can name a good amount. He's made Carrie. He made Scarface, Blowout, The Untouchables.
Ooh, he made The Untouchables? I didn't know that. Okay, fair enough.
He also made... what? There's a movie he made the first Mission Impossible, which I really love.
No, he didn't. Did he?
Yes, he did.
He did? You sure?
Yes. I am absolutely sure.
That movie was bad, by the way.
I love that movie. I love it too. But he's made Carlito's Way, which I love. But there are definitely some movies of his which I don't.
No, I don't like that movie at all.
He's made The Black Dahlia, which I hate. He made Mission to Mars, which I hate. He's made Snake Eyes, which I don't remember fondly.
That's bad.
I kind of remember. I remember at the time thinking it was amazing, and I think it was particularly because it opens up with one of these great one-shot scenes where it lasts like 6 minutes long, and it's going all over the place, and it's kind of amazing. But I don't remember anything else from that movie really. He's made his bad movies and he's made his good movies, but he's been gone. He's been away from movies for 5 years now or something like that, and I'm interested to see his new sexual thriller with Rachel McAdams and Noomi Rapace. It looks like it could totally be bad.
Honestly, Andrew, did you see that title sequence? I shouldn't even call it the title sequence. The title at the end of this this trailer looks so cheap and so bad, right? I mean, if you are really going to promote your movie and you're going to say that you've got this, let's call him legendary because people see him that way, this legendary director, you've got Noomi Rapace who kind of broke through when she did The Girl in the Dragon Tattoo and has been slowly but surely building up her street cred. And then you've got Rachel McAdams, who for some reason has hung on to her notoriety. Why would you promote it with that horrible looking title? And this trailer, which is not that good to begin with, right? To tell you the truth, the title would have looked more professional had it only been white text on black background, okay? But anyway, barring that, the trailer, it's not great. It's average. I mean, there is nothing, unless it is that I would like to see Noomi Rapace and Rachel McAdams banging, there's no other reason for me to watch this movie because that's all that's put in front of me. There is no story. All I know is that Rachel McAdams, first she wanted to be, what was it, respected, but now she wants to be loved. And that doesn't tell me if what happens in the movie, unless what they're saying is that all that happens in the movie is that these two ladies get it on. Which may not be a bad thing, but that's not enough for me to want to watch a movie. This reminds me of, there were a lot of like 80s, early 90s, Mickey Rourke type of movies, just like this one. Or sorry, just like what I envisioned this one to be, which was very sensual, very provocative, just for the sake of being sensual and provocative. And that doesn't interest me. A lot of people say, I guess, that that's the same thing that Steve McQueen did with Shame. And
have you seen that movie yet?
I have not seen it yet. And I know that you are maybe not on that side of the argument, but on the this was a bad movie side of the argument.
What, with Shame?
Yeah, with Shame.
No, I love Shame.
Oh, sorry. So it wasn't you that hated it. It was Damian. Or wait, no, Damian loved it. That's right. I don't know who I'm thinking of.
No, but that's a verifiably good movie. We can't claim Damian likes that.
No, okay, all right, fair enough. Damian hated that movie.
I mean, him to like a movie with Fassbender? That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't at all. But honestly, Andrew, this trailer doesn't interest me one bit. other than the fact that I really, for some reason, and I don't know why, I still like Rachel McAdams. I do.
I mean, she was in what was that movie, Midnight in Paris, for
she
kind
was,
of a
and
little
I like
bit.
That movie. She was in the Sherlock Holmes movies, and I like those. She was in Red Eye.
And
New
Mirror Pace was in
I
the second
it.
One of that.
What?
New Mirror Pace was in Sherlock Holmes 2.
I know she was. So I guess this is their second movie together, technically. But yeah, Rachel
even
Mark
though
Adams
I don't think they had any scenes together.
Movies that should be kind of shitty, but probably were still kind of shitty, and I still liked anyway. Like, you know, Red Eye and Time Traveler's Wife and all of that thing, but if
hey,
if
I will not have you say bad things about
movie,
Red Eye.
Her name is going to be that reason, I think. And not this trailer.
I will not have you say bad things about Red Eye.
No. Good. I love Red Eye. You know this. We watched it mm-hmm. together for the first time, and we both loved it. I just have to admit that it probably was a pretty bad movie.
Any movie that ends with field hockey references, that's a good movie.
If you say so.
I'm interested in this movie for the brand, the power factor, and I've already queued it into my TIFF schedule, so I'll have a definitive result as to what this movie actually ends up being in the next 2-3 weeks.
All right.
the next
to your comments.
The next trailer I want to talk about is this new film by the name of Butter. And if you're thinking to yourself that that's some form of a metaphor, you're very, very wrong.
I believe in America. I believe we are the best. I have spent my life working hard, trying to do the right thing. I just hope when you vote, you remember that. I'd like to remind you what this contest is about. It is about excellence in butter. God bless America.
Welcome to the State Mastery in Butter Competition.
This movie is about butter.
More specifically, butter carving.
Right. And how that they apparently have butter police.
it's bad for
you. It's really weird because Jennifer Garner is an actress who I don't really feel anything. I don't really have an opinion of her. I think of her as just okay. And serviceable. She to me.
Whoa,
is,
what does serviceable mean, Andrew?
No, not like
what does that mean?
Oh, no, sir. I'm not. Take your mind out of the gutter. Stop using the butter. Why did that rhyme?
Listen.
That's this not how we're talking about butter. She's like the perfect girlfriend in movies, you know, the one who gets dragged along for the story, but we never really have a character there. She's like fine for that. I've never really, but at the same time, there are some films, and I think it works best whenever she's doing comedies, that she just seems to have that perfect tone. The way that she delivers herself in this trailer, where she's like, where there, it starts off with that speech about America and what it's based on, and then she ends off with that line of, "And we have butter," and it just works. I think this movie is going to be fantastic. I can't wait, Douglas.
Okay, this trailer. Let's see, where shall I start? Should I start with the fact that it is clear that whoever wrote and or directed this movie simply... Well, it's clear that the writers watched Best in Show and then said, I'm going to write that movie. And that's all they did. They took out all the references to dogs and just inserted references to butter. That's what it feels to me when I watch this trailer. Which isn't a good thing. No matter how much I love the people involved with Best in Show, and I've seen other things that they've done and liked them, that movie I never was a big fan of. And for that same reason, I'm not sure how much I like this movie. But the truth of the matter is, it's clear that this film is going to be some sort of ridiculous comedy. And as you say, Jennifer Garner does very well in that kind of situation. And actually, it's there are other pieces to that puzzle. I saw this trailer, actually not today, but a while back. So I don't remember everybody. I do remember that I saw Rob Corddry, and I love him. He's really funny. If you've ever watched Children's Hospital, you know how funny this man really can be. And
I still haven't watched that
Andrew,
show.
You need to. I'm actually lagging because I think I'm about a season behind. But it's so funny, Andrew. It's so funny. So I guess I will be optimistically cautious on this one. I'll wait probably for another trailer to come out, or maybe if, I don't know, the spirit hits me when it comes out to the movies out here, I might just go. But the trailer alone definitely won't get me. But I'm not going to say I'm fully against it. It just has a couple of hurdles to go over for me.
Okay. How can you not like butter, sir?
do you realize that it's bad for you, Andrew? You realize that,
Do you
right?
think that they're going to have a scene in which two competitors have an argument about whether butter with salt or butter without salt is better?
Yes, I can imagine that taking place. And then one's going to talk about how the salt gives it a good full-bodied shape and allows, you know, you to sculpt extra fanciness or whatever. And the other one is, but the simplicity of the unsalted, it makes it so much more feng shui.
I'll stick with my Irish butter any days. Moving on.
Ireland, what? Irish butter? What are you talking about?
The thing says Irish on it. Their butters just claim to be from Ireland. I don't know. I'm sure they're lying to me.
Potatoes? I mean, come on.
I have heard the war and worry of the gospel. Very fast across the void. I have married broken spoke, charging smoke wheels. Spit and swallowed opioid. I am the driver at the wheel of the order, marching circles at the gate. My eyes have seen the fury. So
from the acclaimed director of The Wedding Banquet, the Samuel Goldwyn Company presents Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. The story of three sisters looking for a recipe for romance. And their father, one of the world's great chefs, trying to understand the ingredients. In this family, if you can't cope, you can always cook.
This week I wanted us to talk about Ang Lee's film Eat, Drink, Man, Woman.
Oh, that's Ang Lee?
Yes.
This is an Ang Lee movie?
Yes, it is.
I understand now. Ah.
So, sadly, the purpose of this decision was to attack Damien. To hope and pray that somehow I could find a gem in Ang Lee's backlog so that he would have more than 1.5 film to look upon. With hope, because I tend to try and go for films that even I haven't seen, because I don't want to be talking. I'm not like Damien. I don't want to be pulling out of my back pocket movies that I feel are amazing, and then just dare him to hate them. I actually want it all for us to have a little discovery when we're coming to this podcast. And you can sense that this is already coming with the apology. But okay. Before I give my apology, and I'm not promising said apology just yet. Douglas, what did you think of this film?
Okay, so Eat, was this Eat, Drink, Man, Woman?
Yes.
That's the name of this movie? Okay, Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. First of all, this guy can't even put together a proper sentence, much less a movie. this movie is, it's Andrew, this movie is bad. This movie is centered, as I said before, around food. You've got a paternal figure, a patriarch, a father of three daughters, three fairly old daughters, between, I would say, I don't know, late teens to early 30s, early late 20s, about there. And he is a master chef. Everybody loves his cooking. He has mastered the art of Chinese cooking in Taiwan or whatever it is. Yet there is a twist. This man who cooks the greatest food in the world can't taste it because, as he says, his taste buds don't work anymore. Andrew, have alarm bells started ringing yet? His taste buds don't work anymore.
Well, Douglas, I mean, that's not... There's Beethoven, and he worked out. Why can't this guy work out?
They made that reference, Andrew. They made that reference. They call him a Beethoven because of that. Now, you see, if this movie was, I don't know, a Terry Gilliam movie, a Broken Lizard movie, something like that along those lines, then I could see a master chef with no taste buds working, because then clearly that is a premise for some ridiculous comedy. But no! Or some ridiculous odd movie. But no. This was a 100% completely serious movie about a father and his three daughters who, I don't want to say hated him, but they all ran the gamut between hating him or just thinking he was kind of annoying. There was no love there. Not really. And each of them acted out accordingly. And one by one, they left the house. Oh, they all lived in one house, by the way. Did I fail to mention that? But, Andrew, this movie was boring. This movie was slow. And if it weren't for the fact that there were a few scenes where you saw this man cooking and it looked good, there would be nothing to watch this movie for. I don't know, the story is, it's not intriguing, it's not new, it's, and it's not well done or put to, I don't want to say put together, but executed. There were, you know, certain emotions that clearly he was trying to evoke, and certain relationships that he was trying to develop, but especially towards the end, it was like the payoff just wasn't there. And the truth of the matter is, even if there was a great payoff, I don't think that I would have felt any better, because to get to the payoff was just so long, drawn out, and difficultly painful. Other than that, the movie was fine, though.
Other than the pain it caused you in sitting through near 2 hours, just over 2 hours actually,
yep,
of three daughters slowly trying to marry themselves off and an old man going insane, it was fine.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
On a somewhat different topic, I watched this movie and I finished and I was so upset, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to watch a good food movie. And that's why I watch like Water for Chocolate, and clearly I'm 0-2. So this kind
earlier
of
when you mentioned like Water for Chocolate, my mind said he watched Chocolat again.
Oh well, that's a good movie. I would have really enjoyed if I had watched that movie.
Now we're talking about food movies. I want to watch Ratatouille again.
That's another good movie.
But I don't have that movie anymore. I gave that to my cousin.
Yes, you did. And I don't think you ever got it back. Along with quite a few others.
I intended to buy the Blu-ray. I just haven't yet. Anyways, talking about this film, Eat, Drink, Man Love, Man Woman.
You're thinking you talk about love or whatever.
Yeah, there's Eat, Pray, Love. I didn't think of that. I haven't seen that movie.
Seen pieces of it. It's what you would expect. But with James Franco.
Oh yeah, there is James Franco. Anyways, while there are a lot of problems, I want to take a moment to highlight the stuff that I liked about the movie before I get to those problems. You mentioned it. I agree very highly. This movie does look very pretty at times. And I almost want to say that it feels to me, especially like how this is Ang Lee's second film, that it was limited by technology in its look at times. And I know that's barely an excuse, because there are a lot of films made in the early 90s which come off gorgeous, which we've discussed. But some scenes, like especially the opening 10-15 minutes when you're seeing the intercut of meeting all of these daughters and seeing him cook this massive Sunday meal for the first time, and then even later in the scene where he's called into work and there is that tracking shot of him walking through the kitchen to eventually see what the problem is, all of that come together is like some really brilliant filmmaking, I feel. The way the camera works all of those moments is just great. I love particularly when it comes to the characters of the daughters. You talk about how they bicker and how they, not so much bicker between each other about each other, but more about their father and how he's annoying them and such. There are some key scenes which I feel pop out, especially the first time one of the daughters are married off, the way that they're just sitting there at the table and they're like, I have an announcement. And the way
it
plays out.
I have a little announcement.
It's actually,
now that you say it, I realize that that was kind of a calling card. And each of them said exactly those words before they had something really big to say.
And there's even later in the movie where a character goes, yes, that one has a little announcement to make as well. And they pretend like they don't know what's happening. And then it comes with a big sort of twist at that point. And I don't really want to say it because, you know.
This is in the end, right?
Yeah, that's towards the end.
Yeah.
And even that scene at the end, the camera work is kind of fantastic in the reaction to that announcement.
Yeah, I think that scene was probably one of the standout scenes. We're speaking very vaguely, but I'm pretty sure we're speaking about the same one.
Right, yeah. I'm attempting to not spoil this movie.
Yes. Of course, in doing so, people are like, what the hell are they talking about? Why don't they talk sensibly?
Why don't they just spoil
this movie? This doesn't help me, this review. they're like, so there was this one scene in the end that was really good. And the other one agrees if it's the same scene that they're talking about. That doesn't help.
I know we're talking about the same scene. You see, I don't pretend. You know, I know for a fact. We're in sync. And those are the things which I latch on to. Those are the things which show me the Ang Lee that I love, which comes out in a lot of his later films, like The Ice Storm, like Crouching Tiger, like Lost Caution, movies that when I mention that and Damien is around, he stops me and tells me, look, stop lying to us. I quite love those movies. Even Brokeback Mountain, a movie which Douglas at least has to agree with.
Brokeback Mountain is amazing. I adore that movie. Why do you say it? At least Douglas has to, like, come on, you know how much I love that movie.
This, and those are things which I'm happy to see in this film, what doesn't quite work for me, and you say that this movie is a full-on serious movie, I actually don't agree. I feel like Ang Lee was trying to inject comedy into this movie, and that's where it particularly failed, in his attempt to be funny, which was something which I had a problem with in The Wedding Banquet, where he tries really hard, but there's so many times that it feels like he's being a bit too serious with this comedy. And it just doesn't come off well. There's even the moment where literally this guy's food kills someone. Almost kills someone. And I'm not quite sure how much he wants us to laugh at that, because it feels like a funny scene. Because if you watch all of the times that his friend, I think it's old Wen or something, Uncle mm-hmm. Wen, who tastes this guy's food, because as you mentioned, he no longer has any taste buds. He makes a face. And it's almost something I want to ask you, what did you feel like? Do you feel like throughout the entire of this movie that people are just lying to him that his food tastes good? Because it's quite obvious throughout the movie, every time they sit down to dinner on Sunday, they all have a complaint. And I don't know whether to say this is the complaint of someone who has a higher palate than the regular people in the world.
I don't think they all have a complaint. I think that... I can't remember names now, but the corporate daughter, I think she always had a complaint, and you learn why, because there's kind of a rift between her and her father, and it's specifically to do about food, and I think that is her problem. And the truth of the matter is, I think she has legitimate complaints, because she, as you say, has a higher palate. And then, as the movie goes along, he gets worse and worse with his so-called taste buds, and... So, because of that, his cooking gets worse and worse. And I think that you would then notice that as the movie goes on, it's like each daughter then, or our new daughter then begins to have problems. Like one says, you know what? Yeah, I think he missed out the shrimp in this one. But no, it's okay. Don't tell him. It's all right. And then another one will be like, boy... soup too salty or whatever it is. So I think it's a progression throughout the movie to kind of show the deterioration of his relationship with at least one of his daughters. I think his taste buds is a metaphor for his relationship with his corporate daughter.
And I guess that makes completely sense when it comes to the end where.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're not supposed to say
magically.
That. So I expect to hear a beep in this podcast. A bleeped out version.
Oh, censorship, those bastards. I mean, we do have our complaints about this film. There are as you mentioned, it does kind of drag. I feel that Ang Lee definitely... Damien has had his complaints about Ang Lee, but I'm about to make a statement here. I think Ang Lee definitely has a problem with comedy, and I'm happy to see that in his later years he hasn't gone to the comedy well again. Because can you think of a film that he's done in after these that has relied heavily on comedy? I mean,
I think, well, I'm not sure, because in the trailer it looked like it was going to be a comedy. And then when I watched it, it definitely wasn't. But it could have been. So perhaps he was trying and failed yet again. Have you ever watched Taking Woodstock?
I still have not seen that one.
I did not like that movie. It was
that remains long. The last Ang Lee film I haven't seen.
Yeah, very long and drawn out. And just didn't work as per usual. And that starred Mr. Dimitri Martin... One of the, well, for a while.
And Emile Hirsch, if I remember correctly.
Central. What?
And Emile Hirsch, if I remember correctly.
Was he in it? Yes, he was. I can't remember. Whatever.
You tried to block out those such things.
No, man.
I think what I want more and more at this point is I want you to watch The Wedding Banquet. Because I want to see, I want to hear your opinion. Because I think that one... has a lot more intentional comedy in it.
Okay. Fair enough. Is that, you said that that one's on Netflix?
It is.
I suppose I could get to it. But the truth, there's not much incentive for me to, though. Because, let's see, what movies have I watched from Ang Lee? I've watched The Hulk, which I didn't like. I've watched Taking Woodstock, which I didn't like. I've watched this movie, which I didn't like. I've watched Crouching Tiger, which I loved. Ang Lee did another one.
Brokeback.
Brokeback Mountain, which I loved. We're still 3-2 here.
But you still haven't seen the other two awesome ones, which are Lost Caution and The Ice Storm.
Fair enough. I'm sure there are other movies that I've seen from him.
So there, I win 4-3.
Has he not made any other movies?
I don't think he has, no.
Wow. But you see, the thing about it is that...
There is The Life of Pi coming out at the end of the year, but I guess we can't count that
and
yet.
And I'm not watching... That movie looks like foolishness. But the thing about Ang Lee's movies is that the extent to which his bad movies are bad more than make up for how many good movies he has. And when I say make up, I don't mean that in a good way. So whenever I see a movie and Ang Lee's name is attached to it, I kind of get a sense of dread. No matter how, I mean, as I said, Brokeback Mountain was a really, really good movie. I remember watching it and thinking it was one of the best movies in whatever year it came out. But, I mean, other than that, and then the just sheer awesome kickassery of Crouching Tiger, I really have not been wooed again by Mr. Lee.
Oh, I'm sad to hear that this film didn't work out, because I was hoping. I've heard from the Wire that Damien quite loves this movie. He even loves it more than Sympathy for Lady Vengeance, which was yes. One of his personal favorites from this podcast.
Actually, no, he just sent me a text to say, fuck Sympathy for Lady Vengeance. This is even better than... Then I saw the devil.
Oh wow! Yeah, I mean we're reaching monumental heights here.
Actually, wait, what? What's that, Damien? 2012 is shit compared to this. Okay.
You could have gone the Rambo route.
What? Sorry, Chris Nolan could never make a movie as good as this.
Okay. All right, we're going too far now. We're going too far. Let's go. maybe I'll just pick one. That's what editing is for.
Yeah, I see.
Anyways, it's been fun, but I think we should end off this podcast here. I guess the question is, and it's kind of an obvious answer, would you recommend this movie for people to watch?
Absolutely not.
Not even for a casual watch on Netflix, since it's on Netflix Instant?
No, not even for a man who had watched every movie in the world except this one. I would say to him, watch that Miley Cyrus movie again.
I'd say only if you're a completist and you're like, I still haven't seen that Ang Lee film. I'm like, alright, go and watch it. Hope for the best. Hope you're one of those who like it. But I wouldn't ask anyone to stretch their time to find this movie at all. That's the Unnamed Podcast for the week. Douglas, where can they find you on the interwebs?
On the interwebs, you can find me on Twitter. My name is DJR Lost His Name. I don't know where else you can find me. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Google Plus. Do your search thingies.
Use Google. It's kind of useful. It finds people.
Yeah.
I'm over at gmanreviews.com. I'm on Twitter at gmanreviews. I'll leave that announcement for next week. thank you guys for listening. Subscribe, go and give us a review on iTunes, because we love to hear your feedback. Send us an email. You can send me one at andrew.robinson@gmanreviews.com. the newsroom is coming to an end. You guys should go and listen to my newsroom podcast. It's at the end of the season. We should be putting up our last episode around the time this episode comes up. So go and listen to that over at filmgeekradio.com. Thanks so much for listening. And fuck you, Douglas. Good night.
Be around. You are that starts. Each one is a setting sun. Shape, voices escape, sing sad, sad songs, tune to chords, strong down cheeks, bitter melodies, turning orbit around. Voices whine, skyscrapers scraping together, your voice even smoking, less cigarettes, all you can.